Yarva, hello. Welcome. This is David Kukla with the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World. Join me as we unite with healers, ancient medicines, rituals, and ceremonies so that we can preserve, protect, and further this healing wisdom. Let us remember the teachings handed down to us of how to live inside this sacred hoop of land, language, and culture. We've been over the past year defining healing, traditional medicine, the medicine wheels, some people say the mandalas of body, mind, heart, spirit. In other words, the circle of life and how each one of us are connected to that. And so we've been inviting different healers from around the world into this program, and we've been blessed to have Sanatan Kaur here, international New Age chanter. We've had Lana Farson, acupuncturist, and who uses food as medicine, and teaching us how to use food. And then we've had Melodoma Somme, medicine man from West Africa, speaking to us about ancestors, rituals, and ceremonies, and how important that is in our traditional healing and how we are as indigenous peoples, and all the wisdom that these traditional cultures, our indigenous cultures, the wisdom they have for us here in today's world, and how we can utilize their gifts in making this a better world for us, because we're in a time when we need some healing. The earth needs some healing. We as peoples, as families, communities need healing. And so tonight's special guest is Master Andre Salvage. He is a master in the martial arts of Kung Fu Sansu and a business consultant, motivational speaker, live performer, and teacher who specializes in teaching men, women, and children skills in communication, personal development, safety, and living according to our true nature. Born in the crime-ridden neighborhood of South Central Los Angeles, Master Salvage successfully moved beyond becoming a product of his environment. And his background, natural sensitivity, and talent to see and hear the messages behind people's words, their egos, and defenses has helped him create easy-to-learn self-improvement and safety programs for people of all ages. Pretty impressive, Andre. Welcome to the show tonight.
Well, thank you, David.
It's really a pleasure to have you, and we've been talking earlier and getting to know you a little bit more. And always, right before we start into our conversation and going into the Kung Fu Sansu and martial arts as a healing art, we always want to start with an opening prayer. And so if you don't mind, just let's everybody just sort of take that deep breath, and as long as you're not driving, you can close your eyes, or if you're in a safe place, but we're going to say that opening prayer. Ancient ones, ancestors, those who have come before us, those who are walking next to us, besides us, but maybe we cannot see them, but we can feel them. We ask you to come tonight, come with us, and open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears to each other, so we can be that person that we were born to be, so that we can find our life purpose. Help those out there tonight, ancient ones who might be struggling today, might be struggling in finding some food for the kids to eat, maybe a roof over their heads, or maybe some illness, or maybe some conflict they need understanding about. We ask you, ancient ones, to come, as you always have, and be our guide. Be our guide tonight and in our conversation with Andre. Please protect us and keep us on that high road and in our true nature. So with that, welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
So Andre, let's go into the martial arts as a healing art, and in particular, let's go into some of the history of Kung Fu Sansu. And a lot of people maybe haven't heard of it, maybe some do, but let's talk about martial arts tonight.
Okay, the art that I teach and have a master's in is Kung Fu Sansu. It is from southern China. It is originated from what they call the Kuan Yin Monastery. The gentleman who brought it over and introduced it to us round eyes, as he would say, his name is Chin Su Dak. His real name is, or not his real name, but his name, American name, is Jimmy H. Wu. And he first opened up a martial arts studio actually back in the early 50s in Almaty, California. And since no one really knew about Kung Fu at that time, he called it Karate Kung Fu. Mm. After every war, we adopt the martial arts. Mm. After World War II, the war with Japan, we adopted all of the, you know, judo, jiu-jitsu, karate styles. Mm-hmm. And then after the Korean War, we adopted the Do styles, Tang-Soo-Do, Hapkido, Horang-Do, Taekwondo. And since we never had a war with China, no one really knew anything about Kung Fu. So the two people who really introduced Kung Fu to the United States were Jimmy H. Wu was the first to teach, and Bruce Lee was the one to make it really famous. And Kung Fu Sansu is a fighting style made for self-defense, but it has all the four elements that you spoke of when it comes to the healing arts and the balance that is traditional, always been traditional in martial arts. You've heard of how important it is for in the martial arts to develop one's chi. Mm-hmm. And that is just to develop that part of them that is, I refer to that as your true nature, and to have that balanced inside of you and moving in you and moving with you when you are practicing the martial arts, so that there is this balance between what you know and what your chi or your intuition is telling you to do or to how to move. And so it's been martial arts has always, in the traditional sense, been a healing art. Mm-hmm. The monks that learn martial arts, that actually begin to start learning martial arts for their protection, their first introduction, though, was in the healing and in the spiritual aspects of their beliefs. Mm-hmm. And the martial arts was just an easy and a simple blend into those spiritual beliefs, because the principles that you would learn, life principles that you would learn, are the same principles that you would use for self-defense.
And I studied many years Tai Chi Chuan. Mm-hmm. And in that practice, my teacher Nancy Su, she was in her 80s, and she would really emphasize nature. Mm-hmm. And our relationship to nature in mm-hmm. the Tai Chi Chuan. Mm-hmm. And also about, in that practice and discipline, we're opening these energy channels mm-hmm. and bringing flow, the mm-hmm. flow, and mm-hmm. that the body has a natural mechanism to find that true nature, that, mm-hmm. that center point. Mm-hmm. And so in your Kung Fu Sansu, is there that in your practice, that kind of a concept? Is it somewhat mm-hmm. similar?
In all martial arts, there's that same uh-huh. concept of flowing, mm-hmm. whether you're flowing to move in an active meditation like Tai Chi, or you're flowing in, even in the hard styles of Karate, there's still a flow. And the correlation that we have between the universe and the nature, how nature flows and how a martial artist would flow, are very similar, especially in the Chinese systems. You know, they have, in the northern systems, they have quite of, like in the Shaolin, they have animal systems where the movements are basically animal-like or mm-hmm. nature-like. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a myth that says that the monks used to watch the tigers and then imitate their movements, or watch the praying mantis and imitate their movements. It was actually that people would move a certain way, and they looked like, and they moved like the tiger, but they never watch the tiger to imitate their movements, because you really can't watch a dragon to imitate its movements. So it's the idea of the mythical dragon of movements. Uh-huh. And then going even further than just working and correlating with the animals, there's a definite, in the martial arts, there's a flow that we believe, a flow of nature and how nature is moving. And in the martial art that I teach, and the way I teach it, is that this flow that you have inside you, you want to connect that to the flow of nature, and you want to move just like nature. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of objectivity in the martial arts, especially in Kung Fu Sansu, because it is a...
Objective meaning?
Being that there's no... There is a... No judgment, no love, no hate. This is what happens. This is what you do.
Finding very, a neutral
very
place.
Very neutral place. You want to find that in your soul and in your movement as well. Uh-huh. Now, when that comes to the actual fighting aspect of martial arts, if someone decides to run headlong, let's say into a boulder or a mountain, there's a consequence for that. There's just simple basic consequence for you running headlong into a mountain. And the mountain is not upset about it or angry about it or hurt about it. You just ran into a mountain. And so I try to teach that to the people who I work with and the students, that if you ever have to defend yourself, it's a very objective thing. This is what happens if somebody tries to harm you. This is what you do. And you have a whole series of options, including running, to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. So the idea of nature is objective when it moves. Tornadoes are objective when they move. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. self-defense is the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. But even beyond that, there are life principles that you correlate to our workout. You can't take things personally in martial arts. Because if you get hit and you take it personally, yeah, if you're working out and you get hit and you take it personally, uh-huh. then you're not present.
You smack them back.
Yeah, and then that's not really what it's all about. It's just being present, being in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so you don't take things personally, either through someone's words or their actions. Because if you take it personally, once again, like I said, you're not present in the moment, which is part of what martial arts is really all about.
A lot of times we use the language learning how not to react, mm-hmm. but to respond. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that reacting mm-hmm. is just mm-hmm. more of that personalization. Mm-hmm. And maybe that responding is coming from more of a neutral place.
Yes, yeah, so this is what...
More of an inquiry.
Right, and this is just what happens.
Why did you hit me?
Well, it's more like, there's action and then you're reacting, but you don't have to necessarily... react, or you don't have to necessarily do that. Mm-hmm. And in the martial arts, it's not about, in the way I teach it, it's really not about fighting or self-defense. It really is more about you losing or recognizing or changing that fear that our ego has us in a way of protecting ourselves. We protect ourselves because we're afraid. We have this wall that we have up that we don't want people to really see us or know us, or we put this wall up when we meet people, and it's there to protect us.
Does fear come also in survival?
Well, there's a difference between there is that natural, instinctive mm-hmm. survival mode, mm-hmm. and there is a way to have that survival mode that this is what I do, and you move in this way, but there's a way to not bring all of the fear we've ever had in our life into that moment. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being afraid in this moment because it's real and dealing with it, and being and finding the courage to deal with it, mm-hmm. and being afraid and bringing every single fear we've ever had into the moment. Mm-hmm. And so those life principles that we all...
So the training mm-hmm. is some sense of training yourself to stay present in time, mm-hmm. in much like in many of our Eastern mm-hmm. Buddhist practice, Tibetan, mm-hmm. a lot of the Eastern spiritual practice is all mm-hmm. about this moment is all you have.
Yes, and this is the moment you're dealing with, not the not the bully that hurt you when you were younger. It's this moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's somebody who is coming in and who is challenging you in some way,
mm-hmm.
then it's this moment. This is some, and you're very objective about it. This is someone who's being mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I recognize this person is trying to dehumanize me to get up the courage to hit me.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize what that's all
mm-hmm.
about, and that recognition allows you to have a sense of presence to deal with this moment, whether you need to say something, run, or to defend yourself.
Well, thank you, Andre. This is David Kukla with the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World, and tonight we have our special guest, Andre Salvage, a master in the martial arts of Kung Fu Sansu. And we've been talking about its history, and Andre's been talking about some of the disciplinary practices and how it helps you find your true nature. And we're gonna explore that a little bit more deeply now. And what I'd like to talk, well, first a comment, Andre, and
mm-hmm.
that's the spiritual aspect. And in listening to you, I'm thinking of all the Buddhist monks that would train in martial arts. And so there's definitely a spiritual element in there. And maybe people are going, well, how can martial arts be spiritual if it's about fighting, if it's about maybe hurting someone? How is that spiritual? I mean, so, because in some people's minds, you're not supposed to hurt anybody.
Yeah, cause
so,
no harm. Yes.
Yeah, cause no harm. So
yeah.
Would you care to maybe help some of our listeners and maybe myself understand that a little better?
That's a good question, and it's a question that I get a lot when it comes to martial arts, because the collective consciousness about martial arts is about fighting, and we've lost that deep spiritual essence of what it is and what really is happening. Even the word martial means war, art.
Uh-huh.
And so there's that. So I understand the question. And it's the idea of spirituality. I think it's, well, for me, when I had to ask that question in my own life, because my first memory of being alive is being homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of violence going on. And so, you know, how do you rectify those two things inside of you? Well, the fact is that we all have it in us.
We all have it in us
to be both dangerous and healers.
Okay.
To harm and to heal. We have that in us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we begin to stifle one of those or heighten one of those, then there's an imbalance in your life and even in the world.
Okay.
We live in a very patriarchal society,
right,
where there's a lot of violence.
Yeah.
Solving problems with violence.
Power. Greed.
Exactly. So
control.
That is all a part of, you know, it's an imbalance there. So we need to have that other side where there is, you know, caring and love and peace and ease and presence. But I've found that having any one of those extremes inside of us and not having that balance, then what ends up happening is that we end up getting pulled to those extremes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Buddha talked about how life is fine, is that balance, and being able to recognize that balance. And so when I get rid of the idea that spirituality is only just being nice, kind, cause no harm,
mm-hmm.
then I think I move away from how nature is moving as well, because
mm-hmm.
I believe nature is very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And nature just moves, and nature has its way, and nature's if we look at it, it looks kind of violent. I mean,
earthquakes can be violent,
and even the cutest little birds are kind of violent, and taking when they're dealing with how taking care of themselves, protecting their territory, or all those different things. But we label those things.
Mm-hmm.
We have that label, and then we label in our arrogance and in our entitlement somehow that this is spiritual and this isn't spiritual. Mm-hmm. You're not spiritual because you don't meditate enough. You're not spiritual because you've never been to India and sat at the foot of some guru. You're not spiritual because you know martial arts, or you're not spiritual because you don't know martial arts. Mm-hmm. Those types of those arrogance and those types of things that those are the things that cause disruption and not connecting to one another and to yourself.
So another dogma.
And just another, yeah. And so what? I get rid of the idea that spirituality is just one way, mm-hmm. you can be very, very, so I believe, so-called spiritual, which is, again, who has the authority to tell somebody who's not spiritual, who's enlightened, who's not enlightened? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. But when I get rid of those, when I don't get pulled by that and think I have to be a certain way to be spiritual, mm-hmm. then I begin to be in my most truest nature. Mm-hmm. And my truest nature knows how to take care of itself. Our body knows how to take care of itself. If I move to close your eyes, near your eyes blink. That's a protection. Mm-hmm. If you eat something in your body that isn't right, there are certain cells in your body that connect to that and protect you and get rid of it. Mm-hmm. You get a cut on your arm, you get a scab, it protects you. So this protection is a part of our body and a part of our way. Mm-hmm. And that protection happens in many different ways. And when you embrace that, mm-hmm. I believe that is being balanced. In the balance, I believe that one can be spiritual.
So then martial arts, Kung Fu, San Su, is an extension of the protection, of self-protection.
Yeah, that's all it is. Just one aspect of protection. And, if you ever came to my studio, my gosh, you would sometimes think, these people are really violent and crazy. And then the next day you came in, you think, my gosh, they're just talking about love, and they're talking about, being present and not making judgments. They're talking about mm-hmm. different things like that and practicing that. And practicing those move things.
So what I'm hearing is that, this Kung Fu, San Su, as other martial arts, there's a deep philosophy in it.
It depends on
war.
It depends
an
on
art
the,
of war.
It does depend on the teacher, Dave. It really does depend on the teacher because, there are, in every practice, mm-hmm. there are people who bring their aspect into it. Mm-hmm. There are people who have, in every martial art, it's a little different, but the traditional, the foundation of martial arts mm-hmm. is a spiritual practice.
Okay.
The Tai Chi is an active meditation. The forms we do are active meditations. Yeah. You being able to be in the presence of danger and being still and being calm is a spiritual practice that mm-hmm. People do and work at for years. And so I just bring those principles into it because it's something that has helped me. Mm-hmm. It has saved my life growing up. And it is something that I share with people because people become afraid. People have a lot of fear. And mm-hmm. one of the best ways to not be afraid is to know someone can't do that to you.
Okay.
And so when you know you can have that, it brings peace.
So if somebody out there listening tonight is maybe looking for a teacher mm-hmm. in the martial arts that are more in alignment with these traditional values that you're speaking about tonight, which is holistic body, mind, heart, spirit, and mm-hmm. foundation being very spiritual. And what would people look for? How could you guide maybe some of our listeners? Because there's a lot of studios out there. There's mm-hmm. a lot of different practices. Mm-hmm. Someone who's maybe green and doesn't know anything, what would you recommend, Andre?
Well, again, it depends on what people are looking for. If they're looking for a practice that allows them to protect themselves as well as finding the balance in themselves, in their heart, in their spirit, then it is kind of going out and finding the right teacher. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the art itself, even though there are some traditional arts like San Su, mm-hmm. Aikido, Tai Chi, mm-hmm. that have that spiritual aspect in it naturally. Mm-hmm. It just has it there. Mm-hmm. But there are people who teach, some of the really violent arts, like Krav Maga is really a violent system. It's almost as violent as San Su. But they also that the teacher will bring in the spiritual aspects, the emotional aspects, the heart aspects, mm-hmm. the body aspects of it as well. Mm-hmm. And it's really you going and finding the right teacher, mm-hmm. asking the right questions, first understanding what you were looking for, what do you want. And if you want, you can ask any teacher and say, do you teach, have that holistic approach? Is there a, do you deal with the spirit as well as the emotional and the heart and the body? And you'll know right away. Mm-hmm. You'll know right away.
And so then, what would you, in closing, and like to have you back again on the show so we can, you know, this half hour, we can just sort of open the cover to the mm-hmm. book. And so what would you like to say to our listeners tonight about martial arts, in particular Kung Fu San Su, and how it can help you in the healing?
I think one of the ways it can help in the healing is that if you have been traumatized by violence in your life on any level, verbally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, this practice can help remove that fear, and transform it into courage, transform it into a peace and a ease that I think we're all looking for in our lives.
Wonderful. And how could people contact you, Andre, and what would be the best way?
Easiest way is to go to our website, and that's andresalvage.com.
You want to spell it, please?
A-N-D-R-E. Salvage is S-A-L-V as in Victor, A-G-E.
.com.
.com, yes.
Okay, and then the contact information is there.
Yeah.
And you have a studio in San Francisco, San Rafael?
It's in the San Francisco in the Presidio.
Okay.
And we
and
teach
you teach
there,
classes there?
Yep, we teach there 3 times a week.
Beginners, intermediate,
yes.
advanced?
Mm-hmm.
So if they want to start in this direction,
they're more than welcome to come by and we'll give them a free lesson.
And so in talking about martial arts, one of the big issues that we've talked about on our shows in the past is abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to permeate all ages, races, regardless of sex.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'd like us to explore on this show tonight is how does your martial arts, Kung Fu San Su, how does that help in dealing with abuse, whether it be physical abuse, how about even emotional abuse? One of the things I've seen in all my years of working with clients and those who have been abused is one of the hardest things people have to accomplish is how do I walk away from an abusive relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And I can expand that to being confronted by somebody, mm-hmm. and if I'm going to be abused, if someone's, you know, yelling words at me, do I walk? How do I defend myself? Where is that? Because there's a lot of confusion in there.
Yeah.
And how would you like to start that conversation on that?
Well, I'd like to start that 4-hour conversation by saying to you that, like you said, abuse happens on all different types of ways, spiritually, mm-hmm. emotionally, and physically, and they all leave marks and they all leave traumas in our body and in our soul and our spirit and our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many ways to move through that trauma. One of the most powerful ways is to making sure it doesn't happen again and that it you know what to do in those situations. Now, this is very this is a very powerful thing. It's even part of what people say how to forgive. Because the healing begins when you can know in yourself that I can do something in this situation. The reason why is because in the abusive situation, whether it be someone who you know, you don't know, and it's
a loved one,
your loved one, it doesn't
stranger in the street.
When that occurs, you have lost power. It feels like you've lost a sense of yourself and power, and you've given up that power, and you've lost that sense of power. And gaining that power back is what I try to share with people, and one of the reasons I teach this. There was a really good friend of mine who was raped by three people who she knew, and she died because of the rape, and as well as because of the society's ideas about assault by blaming the victim and other things that we do to the victim of assaults. And that really began my journey into recognizing and understanding how to get people to move away from that abusive ideas. When you're dealing with predators in your life on any level, you lose a sense of power. You give up that power somehow, or it's taken away from you. Getting that power back is part of what we teach in the martial arts and Sansu and in the courses that I teach. So how do you get that power back? How do you get that power back? Well, the first thing is to have a certain awareness. Have an awareness of yourself. Have an awareness of listening and following your intuition. One of the things that we teach very strongly in our classes is how to regain that sense of intuition, what it feels like, what it sounds like. Well, why do you do that? Well, the intuition is that tool, that key, that guidance inside of us that says something is not right. Predators have a really good way of getting you to distrust your intuition. You have this feeling something is not right in the beginning of the relationship. You're walking down the street, you feel something is not right.
Blame you.
Yeah, well, there's this.
You stepped right in front of me.
Right. And there, but yeah, exactly.
You're looking at my girlfriend.
Exactly.
So there's that intimidation.
Right, and so the predator will do those type of things and happen and have you mistrust your intuition. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is to really begin to trust that part of you. And if that intuition, by the way, I believe it's never wrong. It's always right. Mm-hmm. It tells us exactly what we need to do. What we need to do is to rehear it, trust it, and follow it. So the first step is beginning to trust you and hearing that intuition. So that's one of the first things we talk about, how important that is. So if that intuition says run, you run.
How do you do that?
One of the ways is to get people to realize that they have it in them.
Okay, number one, realize you have it in you.
Number two is that you have examples in your life, all of your life, when you have been in a situation, like you've met someone in your life, and for some reason that person makes you feel uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. An unease.
Yeah, there's an unease.
So recognizing
that. Yeah, you had it when you were a child, especially strong when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
And getting people to recognize it's already there. It's inside of them. Mm-hmm. And to recognize how it works with you. Let me say this. When you were a child, you knew when something wasn't right. You felt when something wasn't right. And then they told you that you were either wrong or that's not the way to think or that's not good. And you begin to start doubting that part of you. But it's still there. When you meet someone, like I said, and they're like the people who you normally like, but for some reason they make you feel uncomfortable, that's that intuition.
So what I'm hearing you say is that we need to go backwards in time.
We need backwards in time to recognize.
Help us reclaim those moments in earlier childhood or earlier parts of our life.
Or even earlier parts in the relationship.
Our relationship.
Yes.
But we got to go backwards.
Right. There was a moment when you knew.
When you felt something.
Exactly. That wasn't right. You knew something wasn't right. We began to start trusting that.
And so instead of staying in that place that, gee, something's not right here, we ignore that.
Exactly.
And then we sort of start numbing ourselves out from the intuition until we're into the melting pot.
Exactly, until we're into the abuser's way. We're into their agenda.
And have abandoned all our power.
Exactly. And so the first step is to recognize it's still there. Okay. It hasn't abandoned you. It hasn't gone. It's still there.
Okay.
You have it in you to trust it. Yeah. And then give it tools.
Okay.
Because that's the other part. We have that intuitive feeling, but we don't know what to do. Right. People say and do things inappropriate, and we don't know how to say it. So we practice saying how you feel. Practice asserting yourself. Practice setting boundaries. that say to you, that say to the person, never cross this line again, or the boundaries that say, I need to stay connected with your dad, friend, coworker. So let's not go outside of these boundaries so that we can stay connected. I won't talk about your hat, you don't talk about my hair. We set boundaries with people, and that boundary setting is a very powerful thing, because we've all been in situations, again, where somebody has said something or done something inappropriate, mm-hmm. and we walked away feeling uncomfortable, guilty, and not said anything about their inappropriate behavior.
Mm-hmm. So, a couple things we've got mm-hmm. running here. One is feelings, another one's boundaries.
Well, they tie together.
And they interlace.
Exactly. Especially if you're going to heal from abuse, okay, you have to set some boundaries.
So the one of the ways for people to regain that, what you call true nature, mm-hmm. a step in that direction is starting to get in touch with how you're feeling.
Yes, trusting your intuition. Feeling
through
that,
a feeling.
Yes, through that feeling of intuition, yes.
And so maybe before we get to that, maybe when, you know, we need to start a daily practice, how am I feeling right now? Mm-hmm. I'm feeling lonely. I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty happy right mm-hmm. now. Whatever, but mm-hmm. start reclaiming yes. that so that it can build the bridge back to your true nature, back to mm-hmm. your intuition.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Meditation is very good for that as
meditation.
Well.
Meditation.
It helps us to find that stillness and to be still. I want to go back a little bit because I don't want your listeners to ever to understand this too, is that it's very important that if you're in an abusive relationship, mm-hmm. to do whatever you can to get away from the abuser.
Meaning?
Leave.
Okay.
Find some support. Distance yourself, especially if it's a relationship there that there is a spousal abuse or something like that.
Emotional
abuse, just a spiritual abuse. You have to move away from the abuser. You have to separate yourself from that world of the abuser. Then,
and what about, and what I've seen time in and time out, they separate from. But then there's some energetic something that pulls them right back in.
Well, that's why it's important that they begin to get to know and understand themselves a little bit mm-hmm. and to realize that what they would wanted from the abuser mm-hmm. originally, they have that inside of themselves. Mm-hmm. And also having the tools to deal with that situation if it ever happens again. And when you know that this person cannot bully me anymore, this mugger can't do this to me anymore, this rapist can't do this to me anymore, and this person can't just do this anymore to me, now I have tools. I have emotional, spiritual, physical tools to take care of myself in this situation. That builds that power back. They build that esteem back in oneself. That begins to gain somebody their themselves again, or their most truest nature. And at the very core of everything I try to get people to understand is that that true nature has power. Mm-hmm. It's been covered by our ego, by abuse, by neglect, by a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. But if we start feeding that true nature, which is trusting our intuition, having the ability to speak up, having the ability to physically defend yourself, mm-hmm. knowing and recognizing all the situations that predators use, and you see it coming before it even happens, mm-hmm. that builds that a power up, that builds that esteem up, so we don't put ourselves in those situations, and when they do come into our lives, we have the tools to take care of them.
Mm-hmm. And so boundaries.
Yeah.
How do we define boundaries?
Well, when I talk about boundaries, I'm really talking about assertiveness.
Okay.
And assertiveness, many people think assertiveness is being aggressiveness, but it's mm-hmm. not. Aggressiveness is just one part of being assertive. Mm-hmm. You can be passively assertive by just walking away. Mm-hmm. You can be assertive by saying how you feel, mm-hmm. screaming. You can be assertive just by with your body. Mm-hmm. Assertiveness is a really powerful tool. Assertiveness is educating people on how to treat you. Mm-hmm. And by the way, 80% of all assaults can be stopped with proper assertiveness. You saying how you feel, you drawing some boundaries, you speaking up, talking about those things. That is a very powerful tool. I don't know of anyone, if you ask them, listen, in your life, if you had the ability when you were younger to really say how you feel, express yourself, if you, how would your life be different?
Oh,
exactly.
Whole bunch.
Exactly. So when I talk to kids and young women and young men and teenagers about how important it is for you to find your voice. Now, again, it's not being aggressive. It is being assertive. It's a big difference. And assertiveness, you start from a very balanced place of objectivity. And then when your intuition says you need to be stronger, you're stronger. When it says to de-escalate, bring it down, calm it down, you do that. But we do that because our intuition tells us to do it, not because our fear is telling us to run away or our anger is telling us to yell and scream. When you're dealing with predators, extremes are dangerous. If you move like a victim, you'll be victimized. If you move like a challenge, someone will challenge you. So that balance that we talked about earlier, and that balance in yourself, and balance in your assertiveness, balance in your self-defense, all of that is really key and important. So boundaries are just an really just you having a voice, finding your voice. Assertiveness is also telling people you love them, you care. How many people have we missed in our lives that we did not say, I love you, I care about you, I think highly of you? That's assertiveness too, finding that voice inside, letting it speak up. It's one of our true nature's way of handling this life. We express ourselves. We have a life experience, we feel the experience, and then we express how we feel.
Communication.
Exactly. But that's how, when we were younger, that's when we got in trouble the most. When you expressed your feelings about this life situation, many of us got in trouble. And so that ability to say how we feel got stifled, got put down.
It was never welcomed.
Exactly. And so we do not speak up. We don't assert ourselves. We don't say how we feel, what we want. And when you have that ability to do that, and you recognize that you have your worth is not predicated upon someone else's good or bad opinion of you. Worth is a gift, a divine gift that is of your true nature. It is not about anybody giving it to you or taking it away from you. When you know that, then that allows you to live out loud.
Well, thank you, Andre. That's really great words for all of us and all of you listening tonight to the traditional healers from the four corners of the world. We've been privileged to be speaking with Andre Salvage, martial artist, master in Kung Fu Sansu. And we've been talking the last 15 minutes on dealing with abuse. And Andre's been emphasizing the need. A beginning step is to find your voice through your feelings and start speaking those. Try it at home. Try it with your loved ones, your children. Start nourishing that in your children. Maybe when they come home and from school, or when we're sitting down at the dinner table at tonight, do a check-in with everybody. How are you feeling? Give everybody an opportunity, and then also the rest of us can practice listening.
Yes.
Because that's the other half of talking.
Most definitely.
It's got to be listening. And so you got to learn to talk. You also got to learn to listen, which is an art in itself too.
Yes.
And I think maybe that listening might tie a little bit into martial arts, and you have to listen to your true nature.
Exactly. And listening.
So we're going to continue this conversation here. And we're going to go in the direction of self-esteem. And Andre was already tying that in earlier in our conversation, how finding our true nature, that reclaiming our power. And not in an aggressive way, not in a way of controlling someone or dominating, but learning how to assert ourselves in a healthy way. And that somewhere in there, all of us are going to benefit.
Yeah.
And so do you want to talk a little bit? I know you do a lot of training, a lot of workshops on building self-esteem. And I personally don't know anyone, including myself, that doesn't need more self-esteem. I'm still working that one.
Aren't we all? You know, I work with a lot of kids and I go to a lot of different schools. And that's one of the places I really try to get young people, even though kids have a lot of esteem and self-esteem in themselves and feel good about themselves many times. Many of them don't as well. And one of the things that I have worked with people and myself is to, I'm repeating myself, but getting back into my most truest nature and then feeding that part of ourselves. When we feed that part of ourselves and nurture that part of ourselves and we give that to ourselves or we receive it from outside, that builds our worth and our esteem in ourselves. That is one of the things that's been abused many times the most in our lives, our worth, our self-worth. Like I said earlier, our worth is often predicated upon someone else's good or bad idea of us. When we're younger, for many of us, our worth could be taken away from us by the people who were raising us. If you didn't do what I say, I will take love away from you. Now, kids feel that when they're younger. They feel like, oh my God, love can be taken away from me.
Punished.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That harms and covers that worth, because then we think my worth is going to be on how I'm supposed to act in this particular idea. Mm-hmm. Even though your whole being might be screaming, this is not the way to raise me. This is not what's comfortable to me. This is not what I need in my life.
You care how I feel?
Yeah. This is not how I'm seeing this thing. You know, instead of doing that, it is pushed into a particular type of thing. And yes, kids do need direction. They need discipline and all those things. I have 7 children of my own, so I get that. The key thing is to not disturb certain parts of them that are powerful, that are part of their true nature. I said earlier, tampering with someone's intuition is a horrible thing to do.
It's a form of abuse.
Exactly. Someone has a feeling of something that is right, and you say, no, that's not right. That's taken that away from them. A person has a voice and wants to express themselves, and we take that away from them. Someone is exploring, which they're supposed to do when we're younger, and seeking, being curious. Mm-hmm. And then it's told that love can be taken away if you don't act a certain way. Mm-hmm. That harms our esteem, mm-hmm, and our self-worth. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I try to get people to do is to reclaim that in themselves, mm-hmm, by recognizing that worth is something you have in you. It is a part of who you really are. It's a part of your true nature. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with how you think. There's nothing wrong with feel how you feel. There's no wrong about how you feel. Mm-hmm. Getting people to first recognize that in themselves. Mm-hmm. And then I talked about earlier about giving people tools, especially if they've been traumatized, to give them tools to be able to recognize that I don't have to go down this path. I don't have to be pulled by friends or people. I don't have to be abused anymore. I can take care of myself. I can speak up. I can learn how to do all those things. And when you learn that, you're actually retraining and feeding your true nature. And when you do that, that builds the esteem, the confidence that you can handle this life. And that's really what you're doing. You're going to handle this life. How do I handle somebody coming at me and making me feel uncomfortable? Well, you speak up, you say something, you leave, you do all those things. Those are all tools. How do I handle this life when I'm scared and confused? I don't want to do. Well, you be still, find that inner peace inside of you, find that answers, seek out the guidance that you need, reach out. All those things that we do when we're in that state. So When you talk about esteem, I look at that as finding, reclaiming our worth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you reclaim your worth, you give yourself tools so that no one can take it away from you anymore, violently, emotionally, spiritually, anything else. Then you reclaim that esteem, and then you feel and you know that you're fine and that you're okay.
So then reclaiming your self-worth, one of the ways would be finding your voice.
Finding your voice, trusting your intuition.
Trusting your intuition.
And knowing a truth, which is that your worth, period.
Is not based on someone else's opinion.
No one's opinion. Good or bad.
Anybody's.
No one's opinion.
How many get caught there?
Yes. And also what we end up doing is that the abuse that was given to us in our youth, even though it has maybe stopped because you're older, we've taken over and do it to ourselves.
Right.
So we have to...
Autopilot.
Exactly. So we have to recognize that when we are moving in that same way, in that habitual, you know, dun-da-da-dun-dun, you know, that type of habitual thing that hurting ourselves and taking that upset away from ourselves, recognize that too. Yeah.
What I've seen, you've probably seen this too, Andre, is that to start healing that, those places where... we've veiled our true nature, and for us to find that safe place where mm-hmm. we can slowly lift that veil mm-hmm. out, express what I'm feeling, knowing that I'm not going to be punished.
Right, right.
And then that something magical starts happening.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that in your studio, your Kung Fu Sansu studio, safety is a really basic primary issue here.
It is a very safe place
mm-hmm.
to be great, mm-hmm. to be wrong, so to speak, mm-hmm. to make mistakes, to learn. I try to do that in even in my workshops that I give, to create a safe place for people to explore these things. Mm-hmm. Because we all need that. You're absolutely right. We need a safe place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If I can provide a safe place externally,
mm-hmm.
that you feel comfortable examining this new assertiveness, examining these boundaries, examining how you feel, examining your strength, examining your power, your courage, you
know, mm-hmm.
then it does do this magical thing that you end up finding that you're a safe place inside of you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually the safe place. Because what you did, even though I provided a safe place, you allowed yourself to be here. You allowed yourself mm-hmm. to participate. And that was your internal safety saying it's okay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that inside mm-hmm. of us to do that. And that's what I try to get. It's not about me, about my place. It's not mm-hmm. about what I teach. It's really about each and every single one of us has this light in us. And what I do and what I've seen that you do and others do, or try to do, is to, number one, be what I teach people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing is to shine in a way that gives them, encourage them to do the same and to find that light inside of them and to find that mm-hmm. power and that piece of their sense of peace and courage and to live this life the way it's supposed to be lived.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't made to live like that.
Mm-hmm.
And distrust and hurt and pain. We weren't meant to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
Our true nature, it's not meant to live that way.
Right.
It's made to learn, live in connection and in ease.
And so then as you build on this experience, say in your studio,
mm-hmm.
that as you start building that self-esteem, finding that true nature,
mm-hmm.
Practicing living in the present,
mm-hmm.
then with time I'll take that out into my family, I'll take that out into the community,
mm-hmm.
and I'll start stretching my wings, so to speak.
Yeah, a byproduct of that, of you feeling safe in one place, and we encourage you to take that safety and that power, that courage, that assertiveness, that kindness, that love out into every single thing that you do. And this is just a stop to come back in, check in,
mm-hmm.
come in, let's do some more. And even if I, even that's why even people who just teach, here's how to punch and kick, and kids develop self-defense and develop confidence. The reason why is because they have something that belongs to them. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everyone to find that thing that feels good to them. I tell kids all the time, be an expert at something, even if it's butterflies.
Teaching someone how to protect themselves, mm-hmm. physically, emotionally, spiritually, mm-hmm. on all these levels,
yes.
builds self-esteem.
Oh yeah, it brings out the esteem and the worth that's already in you.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And so maybe a good beginning place out there for those listening tonight, or maybe with your children, because Andre really likes, let's start with those young ones.
Yeah.
You know, before you hit 50, you know, then you got a lot of repair to do. But if we can start touching those younger ones, and so maybe mm-hmm. you at home, what if you start making it a place where you don't punish your children for how they feel?
Oh, man.
What if we start there? Mm-hmm. What if each one of us as parents, adults, as grandparents, see if we can, well, and probably that's going to mean for some of us out there is, I can't punish myself for how I feel, because you're going to be punishing your children for how they feel, because that's what you do to yourself, and that's probably how you were raised. And mm-hmm. so it's a generational mm-hmm. Dysfunction, disease, imbalance that's created a tremendous amount of damage here in our cultures with women, with children, with men.
Right.
Violence is a big issue, and we're talking about some of the root causes of it mm-hmm. and digging out those roots. Mm-hmm. We know jails cannot solve this problem. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, it's continuing, it's perpetuating the punishment mm-hmm. that started a long time ago in everyone's mm-hmm. life.
Yeah.
So let's do it a different way.
Yes.
Let's bring a little more loving kindness into this world of ours, using the principles that Master Andre Salvage is talking about tonight, and Kung Fu San Tzu. Mm-hmm. And so how can people reach you, Andre?
The easiest way is through our website at www.andresalvage, AndreSalvage.com. And all of our information is on there, all of our classes and ways to reach me, and et cetera.
Wonderful. So if you want to build that self-esteem, mm-hmm. if you want to learn how to protect yourself on all levels, how you can walk away from abuse or defend yourself from abuse, this is a great place to start with Master Andre Salvage, and find him online at andresalvage.com. This is David Kukla with the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World. You can reach me at dksaami at mac.com or 415-317-7032. We're going to be back again. Our next guest will be Dennis Banks, founder of the American Indian Movement. And I want to thank you tonight, Andre, for taking time out and for your love and caring for our community and our families, and sharing your wisdom and the gift that you've brought to all of us. So thank you.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here, David.
Yeah. And I also want to thank our executive producer, Miguel Molino, Pedro, chief engineer, Clay, our video producer, and all of you, the listeners out there, who, because of your kind donations, are keeping this free speech radio alive and strong. So keep those donations coming if you want these kind of programs to be aired. And our next show will be July 19th. We'll have Dennis Banks, founder of the American Indian Movement, talking about spirituality. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight to all of you. Stand tall, stay strong, stay on that high road. Good night.
Good night.